With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Having a terrible week? Well, hang in there because we are back with your favorite Avatar The Last Airbender rewatch podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Zach Muhammad, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, Jacob Redman. Jacob, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Zach. You know, I'm just so bad at being good, or maybe I'm actually good at being bad. I really can't tell which one I am, but I'm one of the two. We'll figure out which one it is. Yeah, I'm not really sure which, but I've actually had a very emotional day, Zach, and I would say it's on the later side. So I would just like to prepare people for where I am, and I just hope people accept me as I am, and we'll have a great pod.
Well, I know I will accept you as you are, and so will our guest. Please welcome back the great Felipe. Felipe, once again, making his third appearance on the pod. I think you're the first time to join the Three Timers Club.
Hat trick, baby! Yes, I'm here. I am very excited to be here. I don't know what my transit. I had a joke, and then Jacob made a face, so I lost it. But I do have beef.
Wait! I made a face, and you
I
lost
had a
it?
Joke. Yeah, I lost my joke because your face was like when Zach was like, "Oh, Jacob is happy you're here too," or whatever, and then he was like,
"Oh no! Oh! Felipe, I'm ecstatic that you are here.
Okay.
What Zach said is that you would get past my messiness, and that is not true. As someone who gets dragged regularly on what you're doing, your Phineas and Ferb podcast, I have
sir, you
to
have
say,
not listened to that podcast in months, please.
That is not true, sir. So check yourself before you wreck yourself. Anyway,
it is November, so it's time for a mess.
Is that how it works?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I've never heard that about November.
People
that's
on
the winter
Twitter,
comes and winter is messy.
People on Twitter have been complaining about November. They're like, "Oh, November's so bad," and it's like, I don't understand how we all collectively decided this year that it's time to start complaining about November. Like, I'm on board with it, but I really did not get the memo. I feel a little bit left out. I don't know what to do.
Sorry, I don't know what to do for you either. I'll try to help you through it.
Well, actually, hearing sorry is all I need. Like, honestly, the best way to make me feel better is just saying, like, "Oh, that sucks." That's all I need, and it's all right.
Well, before we do, I do apologize for you. I have some beef with you, Jacob, specifically. Zach, you're in the clear.
But, okay, cool.
I sent a great T Quartet idea last week for the professor, and Jacob said it made him laugh quite hard, and I was offended that he didn't bring it up.
I did bring it up in the pre-show. And did not tell you about it. Now, should I have told you about it? Yes. But no, we did not end up doing it. Also, okay, it was.
I was proud of it. For someone
what was the
T
Quartet idea again?
Quantity, price, supply. Is it demand? What was the last one?
Yeah, demand. Yeah, I remember
that.
Yeah,
because Zach, I said it. So there you go. Zach, as my witness, you don't need to drag me too hard. Now, I should have probably told you that I got the idea, but hey, what can I do?
I'm just glad I made you laugh.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very funny idea. Yeah, so there you go.
See, I can do some economic talk. Not as well as Professor Strunk, nowhere near. That man is a legend. We stand the kindness of that nice sir, but...
True, he was great.
He's one of the nicest people ever.
Yeah. Our guests, Zach, have actually been, like, freaking phenomenal. Like, we've had some incredible guests on this podcast. Like, it is pretty crazy.
No, I agree. Shout out to everyone who's come on. Like, we've had some amazing... I think our episodes with guests have been our best episodes, probably. Mm-hmm. So, shout out to all the people who've come on. They've all been amazing, honestly.
And maybe here for the third time, I think that... Does that mean I'm the best of the best?
I'm not trying to start beef. No, captain of the guest, Felipe. You've been here once for each book.
No, I haven't.
Wait, really?
I was here just twice for season two.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
I think I... The episode I wanted to do, y'all may have had a better choice. AJ was a much better choice.
For what episode? Waterbending Master?
Season one, yeah. And I was like, AJ over me every day. AJ is perfection.
Well, actually, I tried to invite AJ on this podcast and he said no. And I was like, dang it. Okay, Felipe, I guess you can come on.
I mean, I don't blame you.
That is not true.
If you have a choice between me and AJ, pick AJ Norris every single day of the week. I would do it. And I live with myself 24 hours a day.
Wait, you would pick AJ to be on a podcast instead of you. You would have AJ record a podcast that you're not on, and that would be better.
I think so. AJ, literally, I fell out of my chair on a joke he did on a podcast last week for Sex Education. We did one on the Brazilian Dragon. That man is so funny. I was struggling to have no pain in my face because I was laughing so much.
Wow. Well, I've had a lot of pain in my face today. I've cried twice at different form of media, including this episode of Avatar. I don't know what it was, but the fact that, like, Zuko's redemption story finally made it, and, like, we have him just being so genuine and, like, him, like, messing up, but then, like, really, like, wanting to be accepted, like, it actually, I actually shed a tear. Like, a tear streamed down my face. So, first time Avatar has ever made me cry. Maybe the last, I think, but I'm excited to get into this because who knows? I might cry in the podcast.
It's not the first time Zach would have ever cried on an Avatar episode because he was crying tears of boredom during Battle of the Water Tribe.
Tears of boredom? I've never heard of that before.
You ever heard Bored to Tears?
Okay, I have heard Bored to Tears. Now I'm thinking about it. It makes absolutely zero sense. Bored to Tears is not an expression. It is an expression. It's not a logical expression. And then Tears of Boredom is just a weird way to phrase it. I don't think it's actually a thing. But
I went for it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I like the reference. You are right. Like, people do say it, but people also say weird stuff that doesn't make sense.
Well, shall we dive right into the episode? I mean, it's been a great pre-show, so pre-episode.
Before we get to the episode, did y'all see the Avatar news of the week?
No, I haven't.
Yes.
What is it?
Daniel Day Kim is going to be cast as Fire Lord Ozai.
Yeah, we had quite the like news coming out about the live action Avatar. This is like people's, I guess, dream casting for Avatar. So like, if that's the case, like, cool, I guess. Like, you know, people in the Avatar streets were saying like, this is the best Fire Lord Ozai that we could have. Do you not think so, Felipe?
No, sorry. I was examining. I told you in the pre-show that I had some mishap shaving, and I was just like being like, "Oh, does it even?"
Wait, I'm sorry. So everyone needs to like be able to, you know, hear what happened. Felipe was turning his head side to side to check his sideburns, which also is the same expression for shaking your head no.
No, I get that.
So when I was saying that he was like the ultimate fan casting for Fire Lord Ozai, and Felipe shaking his head no, I was like, huh?
No.
Anyway, classic miss what?
For a communication major, we got a lot of miscommunication going on so far.
Yes, we do. Anyway, yeah, so that is exciting news coming out of like the Avatar the world. I still don't think that the live action Avatar is like saved. I think it still has a lot more problems, like the creators leaving.
Do we know what it's going to... Is it going to be just a remake of the story that we know? Or is it going to be, like, more, like, individual, like, storylines, like, random, like, one-off episodes with the cast that they have.
I'm not sure, but I just think I've worked on Netflix television shows and they really half-ass it. And also just like, I don't know, a lot of their live action shows are not very good. I know they're releasing a live action Cowboy Bebop, which I'm interested to check out, but I'm going in with very low expectations on all these live action Netflix shows for a wide variety of reasons.
Zach, that comes out next month, right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, that's very exciting. Oh, also, Avatar The Last Airbender on Netflix is happening in Vancouver. Zach, you should try to be in the background of a shot.
Oh, the Netflix show is filming in Vancouver?
Yeah, that would be pretty epic if you were like on it in any way.
Refugee number three?
I don't know. I'm kind of out of the movie industry business now. With COVID and stuff, I think it's a little unsafe, but...
Okay.
Yeah, and I got a real job now, so yeah. I don't know if I have the time to be doing extra work anymore. It was fun while it lasted. It was a fun job, but I don't know if I'm doing it anymore.
Well, maybe I should fly to Vancouver. I can meet you and be in the background of a shot. Like, that sounds incredible.
True.
Yeah. Maybe I'll see if I can get a job as a COVID PA there, and then we can all be there hanging out.
Do you think that if I like told them, I was like, hi, I would like to be in the background of a shot, please. I actually have a podcast about Avatar, that they'd be like, go away, or they'd be like at all interested?
No, they'd be like, go away. Well, firstly, you can't contact sets directly. You'd have to go through an extra agent, or like a background agent is more the term. And then, yeah, you'd have to talk to one of those people and hope they cast you on it.
Yeah. Also, they would probably try to vet you and be like, oh, so let's listen to your podcast, see what your takes, and then they'll scroll back to like 2 minutes ago where you said, oh, this show's gonna be trash.
I'm sorry, if anyone is starting the podcast, if you start on season 3 episode 12, we have beef. My Twitter is at JK Redmond. If this is your first episode that you are listening to, you and I are enemies. So there you go. If this is your first episode, we are not friends. Why are you starting in the middle of season 3? What if they
just are a friend of mine and trying to check out my episode?
Oh, okay, fine. In my beef, there is a Felipe exemption where if Felipe specifically sends you this episode, then you are allowed for this to be your first episode. Otherwise, please start with Felipe's first appearances. Or, like, I direct you to the beginning of season 3. Honestly, the first few episodes... The first few episodes, like, Zach and I were figuring it out. So, like, maybe you could start, like, season 1, episode 5. Like, maybe that's when we had, like, chemistry at that point.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think season 1, episode 5 is the place to start.
All right. But season 3, episode 12, not the place to start. Again, Felipe exemption. But, yeah, it's like, you know how, like NGOG is, like, closed itself off to new listeners after season 1? Or they joked they were going to do that?
Well... not to spoil the Phineas and Ferb podcast, but Navi is closing out her Twitter followers to anyone who followed her before she got suspended. She's not accepting any new followers when she gets back on Twitter. And that reminded me of that.
Well, I guess how many Twitter followers? I'm sure you all talk about this. How many Twitter followers does she have?
Well, we don't know because she's suspended and no one knows why.
Oh, you didn't know like roughly how many?
No, because we can't access her account right now.
I think she had like 200, 300.
She had a lot more following. She was like in 2K for following.
Well,
not to drag one of my friends on this podcast, but Navi, we stan you.
I'm honored to be one of the numbers that is in. I'm glad that I'm there already. So thank goodness for that. Although I guess right now it does me no good. Anyway, we've had quite the pre-show banter, but we also have quite the episode. Stay tuned to find out why I cried. I actually don't even remember when. So
what else did you cry about? Oh, sorry, not to go on another tangent, but...
Okay, well, the other thing that I cried about, and Zach, I will keep the tangent shorter after.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I'm actually curious, so let's see.
Okay. I would explicitly like to say this is not a recommendation to watch it. Please do not watch this on me saying it. It is too sad for me to recommend in good conscience, but it won the Netflix, it won the Oscar last year for best animated short film. It's called If Anything Happens, I Love You. And it is one of the best examples of storytelling ever. I rewatched it today after it coming up, and it's just so sad. Like it's a beautiful story. It really is so good, but it's so sad that I cannot in good conscience recommend it to people of this audience. Like if you listen to it or if you watch it, like, I really hope that you enjoy it. I hope that you're in a safe space where, like, other people can comfort you. But, like, it's just, okay, Felipe.
Sorry, this is showing Zach the photo that you sent me.
Yeah, but now, okay, would you like to say to the audience what you showed Zach?
A photo of Jacob right after he finished watching, saying, because we were supposed to have a pre-show chat, and he was like, sorry, I am indisposed right now. Yeah. And he sent me that photo to explain why. I was like, are you okay?
I shouldn't laugh at that. That's like actually like a heartfelt photo of Jacob tearing up. I shouldn't be just.
It's not just tearing up. It is full tears coming, full streams down my face of crying. Yeah.
Right down your face.
I don't think any piece of media has ever made me cry. I'm trying to think. What? I think the closest I came was The Green Mile, which was like based off a Stephen King novel. I almost cried at the end of that, but I didn't even cry there.
Bro, I cry at the most nonsensical things ever. Like, not even sad moments. I mean, I remember I was traumatized when I found out that, spoilers for the Disney movie Brother Bear, but that he killed Dakota's mom.
Spoiler alert that.
I had to. Like, you don't know, what if someone's never seen it?
I don't know, I feel like Twitter's blowing up. I feel like I've seen it and I don't remember a single thing of it.
It came out in 2003. You don't have to spoiler alert anything that's over 10 years old that's like not, like, it's not like it has a giant twist at the end. Like, someone, it's just a regular movie that came out in 2003. No,
that final moment blindsided 8-year-old me. I was shook. I was in tears. My mom had to console me. That was a groundbreaking movie. I could not trust Phil Collins after that. He led me astray with that soundtrack that I was like, oh my God, this movie's going to go hard. And then I was just shaking, crying, traumatized for my life.
That is legitimately so funny that it's Brother Bear that makes you like cry. So I'm going to just go ahead and spoil it because it came out in 2004. But Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is the movie that comes to mind for me that really makes me sad. Like, the way that it talks about loss and like the ending when like everything's falling apart is like, it's quite sad. And like, yeah, amazing storytelling. So I don't know, Zach, if you want to cry to watch things, but like,
it's cathartic.
I want to cry once. I want to feel that feeling. So let's see. I'll watch both both If Anything Happens, I Love You, and I'll watch Eternal Sunshine of the Spot.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to watch Brother Bear. Like, I don't think that'll make you cry.
I'm not watching Brother Bear.
Listen, it is a journey. No, but even if we're talking about, we're all Survivor fans, the episode, the Jenna Maraska episode of All Stars, I'm always a mess afterwards.
Wait, I'm sorry. That doesn't get a spoiler alert? Like, we're giving spoiler alert for Brother Bear.
I didn't specify the event. I just said the Jenna Maraska episode of All Stars. You know which one if you're not in the know. Also, the episode afterwards, no spoilers. I don't want to spoil a 15-year-old reality show, but that episode also has me in tears for different reasons.
All right.
Why seeing Rob just get voted out makes it
cool. Spoilers. No, I'm his biggest fan. It hurts.
Felipe literally was like, I'm not going to spoil it. And Zach's like, oh, when Rob gets voted out.
Oh, hey, man. But he didn't say which Rob.
What? True. It's not Rob. It's not Boston Rob. It's the Rob that we're all here for. Robbie C, baby.
Especially me. We stand that man.
We do. Oh, yeah. The other thing I'd like to mention is that, like, Akiva said that, like, I may not be his fan anymore. I tweeted about this, and, like, great. I'm glad that people are liking the tweet. I literally stalked a librarian in Iowa for this man a month ago, and he doesn't think that, like, I still like him.
Pause. What?
I said
Can
what
you
I
please
said.
Share the story? Now we need story time.
I'm not sure. Okay.
I'm so lost, by the way. Why'd you stalk a librarian? Can you like cliff notes this story in Iowa?
Yeah.
Okay. Why'd you stalk this librarian on behalf of Akiva?
Yes. So the Twitter account at Kiev is a Twitter account that Akiva's wanted for a while. So I tried to get the Twitter account and I tracked down the person. I emailed them. I contacted them at their place of work and I said, hello. I would like for you to change your name. She was like, that's fine. I really don't care about the name. Totally fine. But you can't change your name on Twitter to something with like less than four or four characters or less. So @Kiev can never be taken again. So So I got this person to change their name only for Akiva not to be able to claim it.
Did he mention this on NGOG or around?
Somewhere. I don't know. Yeah. I literally
having the handle now, and I didn't know you were involved.
Well, yeah, because I wasn't going to take credit because I worked silently in the background. But the fact that he says I'm still not his fan after I should not have said stalk a librarian. I did not stalk this person. I politely reached out and I asked if she would mind changing her name. She said she didn't mind. Anyway, I did reach out to her on his behalf. I'm clearly still a fan.
Yeah. At least Rob would never be like questioning my loyalty because he knows I'm his number one.
Yeah. Well, okay. Good job, Felipe. I guess I've not done anything to prove it. I literally flew to New York for him like a few months ago.
Did you come to Chicago for this LOL or whatever?
Oh yeah. When Akiva messaged me, he like messaged me absolute gibberish because it was during the Olympics. So he was like very tired. And the message that he sent me was, "Did you come to Chicago just for this LOL?" And I was like, that is not English. Anyway, yeah. I feel like I've gone on quite the tangents, so we can talk about an episode of Avatar The Last Airbender.
Season 3, Episode 12, The Western Air Temple. Let's dive right into it, shall we?
I do have, it's related to this, I swear, it's not a tangent.
Okay.
This episode, so Day of Black Sun premiered in the U.S. November 30th, 2007.
Mm-hmm.
An episode of Avatar did not air until this episode, July 14th, 2008, in the U.S. Apparently, Canada got it earlier because they're lucky. They have affordable healthcare, and they also have Avatar episodes early. Canada's great.
I remember that because it came on in the winter, then it went off, and then they were doing like, oh, the week. Last thing is all going to come out like
one episode a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it had an incredible buildup. And I remember getting like super, super hyped for it. They were having Avatar marathons all on Nickelodeon before this. And I was watching Nick all the time, getting so excited for it. I even faked an illness so I didn't have to go to one of my camps so I could watch these episodes.
Was it a day camp or a sleepaway camp?
It was like a day camp.
Yeah.
But I had things to do. I had Avatar to watch.
Period. So July 14th, 2008, before the finale in July 19th, 2008. So I thought that was a very cool fun fact that I brought because I come prepared with fun facts.
That is fantastic. I'm so happy that you come with fun facts. It takes me months to come up with my fun fact when I did that one time. But I came up with one. This is a really great episode of Avatar. I thought this was like really fun to like get to explore the Western Air Temple. I thought it was cool like to see how different it was, and then like the Zuko of it all was quite exciting.
I come on for all the big Zuko game-changing episodes. Like I came, my first episode was Zuko Alone, the second one was Lake Laogai where they were in the cave, I believe, or no, that was right before the cave. So I feel like I come to these like big Zuko turning point moments.
Yeah, the Zuko turning points are some of the best things in Avatar. Like, it really is what makes the show tick. So, it is quite cool that I guess you've been here through all of these Zuko moments.
Yeah, and to add on to what you were saying earlier, it's really nice to see Zuko interacting with the gang in a non-combative sense. Him coming, like, hat in hand, willing to work with the gang and that be Aang's firebending teacher. It's beautiful stuff, honestly. This was a great episode, I think.
It was so adorkable.
Adorkable, yeah.
Anyway, so we get started on the episode. I thought there was like kind of like pointless, actually. So like we see them all walking and complaining about how they're like not able to ride on Appa's back because he's too tired. Mm-hmm. But like we only see that for about 15 seconds. And like everything they said on there, except I am tired of walking, like could have been done on Appa's back. Am I missing a reason? Like, why else would they have Appa be tired? I don't actually get it.
My assumption is for the reveal where Toph walks up and can feel the city, and then it's like underneath and it's upside down. That's the only logical
definition. I think a better way to do that is for Aang to land on top of the thing and say, "We're here." Everyone else is like, "No, what are you talking about?" And Toph's like, "Oh, we are here."
Yeah.
Well, then we would have missed the Duke saying he misses the pipsqueak, just like me. I miss the pipsqueak too, but he lives on in our hearts.
My biggest...
Poor Zach.
Yeah, poor pipsqueak. Also, like, yeah, I was shook when I found out he wasn't a child, when that was earth-shattering information. But I was very annoyed by... Well, Haru can do no wrong because we stand Haru, but, like, why were these children here? Like, they couldn't drop them off at some other village, like, to, like,
well,
plan there. Like, what? They just felt so ancillary to the whole episode. And I just, like, go away. Let me spend time with these people, not you, stupid
mother. You wanted them to drop them off in another village? Like, what village? It's kind of a hostile area that they're in, Felipe.
So they're on the western portion of the map?
Yeah, yeah.
Are there, like, no safe havens besides the Western Air Temple?
No, it's, like, literally where the Fire Nation is. Like, the Fire Nation's, like, on, it's, like, west side. Like, yeah, there's that's not really, like, a lot of options for them.
Yeah.
They're refugees. They don't get to be that picky.
They need to go mind their own business, hang out in the temple, because they were useless.
Well, that's what they did. I mean, essentially, they said, like, oh, we're going to go explore the temple. Series? What?
Felipe, or not Felipe, I almost called the character Felipe. The Duke, Haru, and Teo. Yeah, we see them later, I think. But to your point, Felipe, you're right. They were kind of useless in this episode. And they do just end off going out minding their own business while we deal with the rest of the characters on screen.
Like, honestly, if they never addressed the fact that they also got on Appa's back last week, I don't think we would have noticed.
Yep, true.
That is true, but then, like, it's a little problematic to, like, willingly send kids to prison. Like, it's already a little bit sketchy to send the adults to prison, like, especially because, like, the EV, I think, is that they're, like, you know, politely killed off. But then, like, yeah, they brought the kids with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I do like the line that Katara says, I think you need to get your feet checked. Or sorry, I think your feet need to get their eyes checked. It's even more weird. Like,
yeah, there were a lot of feet jokes.
A lot of feet jokes. Oh,
like, the feet stink. Like, it stinks when you don't have eyes on your feet or whatever Toph says.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the phrase, I think your feet need to get their eyes checked, is probably, like, when Mace Whitman said that the first time, that was the first time that phrase had ever been said in human history.
Yeah, probably. That's like I think there's a subreddit or a Twitter account for that, like, first time a human sentence has been said in human history. That exists somewhere.
Yeah, a few of the phrases on Survivor this season, I think, are also in that category.
Not the broccoli one. Not the broccoli one. I had heard that before.
Wait, really?
I had heard someone say broccoli or just small trees before. Was this person sober? I don't think so, but...
Okay, well, I stand corrected. I'm very surprised by that, but cool. Anyway, so then they're like, they go down, they see this temple underneath the cliff. It is quite cool. I don't really get, like, why they do this. Like, I do understand that the airbenders can, like, fly, so it's fine if things are upside down. But, like, it still does seem, like, logistically more difficult to build a building upside down than to build it on correctly.
Yeah, maybe with the way the cliff is set up, it was just easier architecturally to build it upside down. I don't know, because it's weird that they even have multiple buildings, like, beneath a cliff. It's an odd place to be building anything, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
I'm not an architect, but I'm also, like, gravity would stress me out. Like, how would you even walk in some of these places if there's no gravity? Like, because the design was, everything was upside down. It wasn't like they rearranged things like a staircase. I know we're talking about for the air nomads, but, like, they intentionally were at a part of the cave that was accessible to everyone.
Yeah, no, that is fair. It is just weird to have it be, yeah, even if they can, like, float to get the things they want, it is just, like, still more inconvenient. But I think we're all in agreement here. Like, I would like every building to be built right side up. Actually, I kind of take that back, because I think it'd be fun to go into a building that's not built right side up, but I wouldn't be able to do anything in it.
I do think there's, like, an upside down house in some European country. Maybe when you go to Europe, you can check it out for us.
Okay. There's one, like, museum or something, or it's not a museum. It's, like, this interactive exhibit where you walk in and it's, like, totally dark. You cannot see anything. And it's, like, a regular grocery store, but, like, you just, like, you can't see anything. So you have to, like, feel your way around to, like, see what it's like to, like, not be able to see.
Would you use your tongue, since you love licking museums?
Throwback to Once Upon a Time.
Oh, God. What a terrible story. No, I don't think I would use my tongue. I think I would try to learn echolocation again, which is
and get slapped by Grace.
Weird thing I've done. I think I'm just coming to this realization. I think I might be weird.
realized
we're all a little weird. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with being weird. It's cool to be weird, I think, especially in today's society.
Well, I would much rather be weird and nice than like with like unhinged energy than be like a sociopath and like non-emotional. I don't know.
Yeah. I appreciate what you all are saying, but I also realize that I, on this podcast, have said that I've licked museum artifacts and tried to learn echolocation.
Well, I said on this podcast, a little tiny baby dog gave me nightmares for years. So.
No, that's understandable.
It's one of my favorite facts about you, Zach.
Thank you.
It's not Wishbone, but are you going to go see the Clifford movie?
Probably not, to be honest. No. I don't want to see them do Clifford dirty in live action. I feel like it'll just be underwhelming, but could be wrong.
We got to get Nicole to see it because TikTok Nicole once spoke these words into the universe that Clifford is the big red gentrifier. And I need her thoughts as, sorry, Zach, you were...
The big red what? Excuse me? I didn't...
Gentrifier.
Gentrifier.
Because Emily had to move because he got so big and then he moved into a different sort of housing, so...
The big red gentrifier. That's too funny.
Yeah, TikTok Nicole for being hilarious.
Imagine being as funny as her. I wish I was that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, anyway, so then after this scene, we got a scene with Zuko and Uncle Iroh. I thought it was really cool here how they revealed like that Zuko had already been at this temple before. It was nice to see the like shift between Zuko 3 years ago and Zuko now. We see Zuko with the bandage over his eye as opposed to like the scar. And like this just like immediately like tells you that you're dealing with a Zuko who's like freshly burned, you know, like aloe still going on each night. As he's like starting his hunt for the Avatar. And we also get Uncle Iroh here. And we get like Uncle Iroh and Zuko's connection. I really like seeing Uncle Iroh again. I know that like we didn't get to see him this week, like, you know, in the current timeline. We haven't gotten him for a few weeks. So it is cool to see him even a few years ago.
Yeah. I have some timeline questions about this scene. So Zuko, I thought Zuko was much younger when he had the Agni Kai. And got the like continuity seemed off because then he said, because also, do we know when this was like timeline wise, like how close they were to Aang popping back up into the universe?
I'm not sure about that, but they said it's a week after Zuko's Agni Kai. So, and he had his Agni Kai when he was 13, and now he is what, 16 in the show?
16. Yeah, so I believe this is 2 years, or like two, maybe 2.5 years before like the Boy in the Iceberg events.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, bye, Zach.
Oh, what?
Zach disappeared. Oh, there he is.
Okay. Yeah. I like that Felipe like just says, bye, Zach.
Well,
I'm here.
I was like, oh, where'd he go? My pre-show information, Jacob's computer died right before we hit record, so
that is didn't correct. Want another
situation like that.
No, I'm good. I'm proactive. Good. Don't worry.
That is correct. My computer just decided, like, it's time to restart exactly right now, like, as we were all entering. But, you know, it's chill. Anyway, we get this scene between Uncle Iroh and Zuko here. They're, like, talking through, like, Zuko's plan to catch the Avatar. Like, right now, he still is, like, very much Season 1 Zuko, which just shows you how far he's come. It was cool that we saw the, like, distinct contrast between the two characters. And I also thought that like his plan was good. Like they're going to first check the air temples and then they'll like check the world. Great. Smart idea. Check the air temples first. I was like, solid job by Zuko, like planning out how to find people.
Yeah.
Any other takeaways from the scene?
Yeah, I have a takeaway. It's kind of Zuko turns into a dick here, kind of, and is like, oh, what? Because Iroh's like, oh, you should take some time to heal and rest. It's only been a week from your banishment. And then Zuko's like, what else should I expect from the laziest man in the Fire Nation? And I'm just like, damn, Zuko, how rude of you. I don't know. I didn't like that from Zuko in the moment, but I get it. He's still like Season 1 petulant Zuko here.
I hated that scene, that how he was mean to our king, Uncle Iroh, but then when we go back to the present day and Zuko, like, you can see the pain, and the animators did a good job of, like, the emotion of him thinking back on that moment and his sadness and somberness, and, like, he very much looks resentful of those comments now that he's lived 3 more years of his life.
Yeah, you're right. We even see him, like, holding his head in shame thinking about that memory, so that's a good point, Felipe.
Yeah.
Yeah. We end that flashback and we go back to the rest of Team Avatar. We see that Zuko like sees people like flying by. Zuko beat them to the Western Air Temple. Like, I know that like last week we had said the thing like, oh, how is he going to catch up? Because like, you know, Azula said that her ship wasn't fast enough to catch up to Appa. Like the worst ship that Zuko was using beat Appa. And like, I guess them walking some of the time. So maybe that's how he did it. But like, he beat them by a significant margin. Is this like a plot hole, or is it like the walking explains it? Like, what's up here?
Something's I think the walking kind of explains it, does it not? They had to walk for quite a while because Appa got really tired, and in that time, Zuko was able to pass them.
I mean, when you're carrying all those background extras for no reason, like you would get tired.
The background extras aren't actually that heavy. Like,
I mean, like. That wheelchair probably is heavier than like the Duke is tiny. I'm not.
Felipe, you're blaming the disabled kid for the weight.
No, Haru is also like a big dude. He's swole.
Canceled.
Like, wow, canceled. Dude, do you want to go there? I have so much dirt on you.
Like, that is threat, Felipe. I was totally joking.
I'm like Katara. I got threats ready.
This is mutually assured destruction. I am sorry. I take it back.
We're good. We're good.
Okay. Good. Please don't ruin my life. anyway, yeah. So, okay, that is fair. That makes a lot more sense. He was able to catch up first because he did not have to do the walking. The hot air balloon does not get tired. Anyway, so we get the extras, as you call them, the background extras, are saying like, okay, we're going to go explore. And I like how Aang's like, great, like time to go explore. Sounds like fun. And Katara's like, no. You can't do that. You're the Avatar. You have responsibility.
My guy, we got to save the universe.
Yeah, which, this really, very much.
Go ahead.
Oh, this reminded me of my mom when like I would like have chores to do, but like wanted to go play with my friends. And my mom's like, hold up, no, you haven't done what you have to do yet, and I have to go back and do my chores.
Yeah, this is very much that. So the movie that was like that climactic scene in every movie, and then it's like the darkest moment of the, whatever it's called in screenwriting, the darkest moment of the soul. And then where you pick back up and then have the, like the finale of the movie. And then that's like this part where everyone's at their darkest. And I really like that aspect of this episode, because it's like right after, I think Sokka even says, are you sad that we got spanked by the Fire Nation, or because we are walking at the beginning of the episode or whatever. So it's definitely a low point for Team Avatar.
Yeah, I think the like low point is probably like when they lose Appa, but this is like a local min.
Yeah, well, if Avatar was a movie, this would be like the next low point that they would face.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, Avatar is a movie technically, and it's just one.
We don't talk about it. We don't talk about that movie. I mean, you did for 2.5 hours, but we don't talk about it generally.
Yeah, the talking about it part was really fun. So. Honestly, was the movie that bad if it meant that a few years later after it being made, we got to talk about it with Kevin and Josh? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that was one of the most fun podcasts we've done, honestly.
Very true. Also, here, the Duke complains that he's not called the Duke. Is the Duke off base here? Is this a valid complaint?
Well, how do we feel? I think Haru called him Duke, and then he was like, no, I'm the Duke.
Yeah, I think it was Teo, but I agree. Like, but is this like something that is valid for him to complain about, or like do you just have to roll the punches? Like, sometimes people call me Jake. I go by Jacob, but like I don't care.
It's weird, honestly. It kind of reminds you of, like Tribe Called Quest. You got to say the whole thing, thing.
Definitely something that if a kid that when I was a babysitter or a lifeguard or a summer camp counselor would come up to me being like, "This is annoying. They're not calling me the Duke." I'd be like, homie, in like 10 years you will not care at all. Like, just like move on. But like, he's what, he looks like 7. I don't know how old he is, but
So my sister goes by her middle name and not her first name, and she had a teacher one time that refused to call her by her middle name. Like, she would, like, the teacher would refuse to say her middle name and only referred to her by her first name, which just pissed her off so much. And so what my sister did as punishment, or as like retribution or whatever, is she called the teacher by the teacher's first name and said, if we're on a first name basis, we're on a first name basis.
That's pretty badass, Dad. Good job.
My sister is like iconic.
We have to stand. But also that's very, especially in this day and age, like I feel like respect people's chosen name. Like that, I don't like the slippery slope that teacher. That teacher seems, I mean, Texan, Texas teacher.
Yes, the Texas teacher.
Okay, just.
Felipe's like, oh, that explains.
You gotta make an assumption. We'll see what that you think about me. I don't really care, but
the great state of Texas. Anyway, so they all go off. The extras, the background extras, as Felipe's termed them, decide to go off and explore the temple. Meanwhile, Katara, Aang, Sokka, and Toph are talking about what to do next. Sokka comes up with a plan, which is the only sensible plan, which is master all four elements, confront the Fire Lord, do your destiny. Is there another secret plan that they should have considered, or is this just open and shut? This is the best plan.
They could have focused on like Aang mastering the Avatar state instead of having to learn firebending, in my opinion. But because Avatar state is ultimately what's going to win it for him anyways. But he with his chakra being locked or whatever cosmic energy mumbo jumbo they have going on, I guess that's not a feasible option.
Yeah. So. I was actually surprised, Dan, when I did this rewatch, when you all started this podcast, how little time is spent in the spirit world. From my memory, I thought it was a lot more from a child. And then that's something that him working on that makes a lot of sense as well. But in terms of those are his only two plans, and maybe I'm just not smart enough to come up with a third, but.
No. I couldn't think of anything better. But like, it does seem to make a lot of sense, you know, no objection there. I think it's very fair. I didn't even think of the Avatar state one, but it makes a fair amount of sense. Also, yeah, the spirit world like is really dove into.
Explored.
Thank you. Explored. Synonyms galore. Explored in Korra. So I think that's cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, to look towards Korra for that stuff.
No.
Yeah.
I had a question about this scene that I forgot. Oh, yeah. Do you need a teacher? Or could Aang try to practice fire? But like, it's helpful with the teacher, but like, he could go off in his corner, practice firebending. Like, if they didn't have any options, like, they talked about John Jong, our guy, but if they never see him again, then Aang has to master firebending somehow, right?
You think that he could like self-teach himself? Like, you know, like kids, like self-teaching themselves, like macroeconomics to take the AP.
I don't think it's the exact same thing. I know they don't have YouTube at this time, but like he knows some basics. He could like do like some version of firebending that isn't the like classical version, but like maybe some freestyle firebending.
They don't have a Khan Academy of Firebending, so I think it's going to be very hard. Zach, do you think there's any feasibility of this plan at all?
No, I think if Aang had like YouTube, as you guys were saying, maybe, but nah, I don't think Aang can just magically learn firebending by himself. It would be way too difficult.
Yeah. I like the creativity, Felipe. I like the idea that you're going to try to like, you know, self-teach, but I just think it's like too
hard. I'm just saying, worst case scenario, the firebenders, you don't have anyone that you can talk to, or they're all dead. That, like, John Jong, God forbid, is dead. Che is missing. You never see them again, and you need to learn firebending. He knows a little bit. He could start there.
That is true. I think it's more like advanced physics rather than like remedial math. But you know, who knows? Anyway, so no, they're not going to be able to self-teach firebending. They are talking about like how it's important to come up with a teacher. Just as they are, we cut to a scene which is like sort of intended to look like maybe that Zuko's talking to the rest of the group. Ultimately, like we're going to see he's talking to a pretty cool looking frog. But essentially what Zuko says is he practices a speech where he says, hey, I was bad, now I'm good, let me join your group. That's like the synopsis. It's a very cute speech. Like, Zuko here he's just very cute the whole time. We also see the range, the vocal range that the actor has. Like, Dante Bosco here is hilarious. Like, multiple times I was laughing as he does, like, an Iroh and an Azula impersonation.
Yeah.
Impersonation.
Yeah.
Words are hard. It's hard. Anyway, I thought that was quite funny. But yeah, Zach, what were your thoughts on this whole Zuko scene?
I loved it. I love how when he's doing the Iroh voice and the Azula voice, we get like each of their respective themes while he's impersonating them. I thought that was really cool with the musical cues. I love this scene overall. And you're right, his vocal range. It reminds me kind of Mel Blanc, the voice of Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck in the rabbit season and the duck season scene, how he's like doing a voice of Daffy Duck impersonating Bugs Bunny. Then he's doing a voice of Bugs Bunny impersonating Daffy Duck. Kind of reminded me of that scene, honestly.
Yeah. But I just thought that it was like very cute. That is a very good like reference. I wouldn't have gotten that one, but I think that is accurate. Felipe, what were your thoughts on Zuko being a cutie here?
It felt very like out of a mockumentary sitcom, like especially with like after he meets with them the first time and then he's like talking to the frog again. It felt very much like something you could see on Parks and Rec. And I did like that. Not to ruin your night, Jacob, but have you seen the TikTok of Dante Basco being approached by a fan and him putting his hand in his face, being like, in the Zuko voice, I'm a little lad who likes berries and cream?
No, I have not seen that. What? He says the berries and cream. No, okay, berries and cream is banned. It ruined 2 weeks of my TikTok, and TikTok is my happy place. It's where I go when I'm stressed.
Dissociate.
And the fact that I had 2 weeks of berries and cream talk is banned. We will be moving on. I'm sorry to be so passionate about
Will sending berries and cream TikTok after you discussed how you didn't like berries and cream TikTok. Davis Kama Will loved that kid, but that man was antagonizing me intentionally with all these berries and cream TikToks that he would send me.
Yeah, I'm out on that. I really am just opposed to it, honestly. So no, there's another month of banned for berries and cream talk.
Should I be happy I'm not on TikTok and don't get this reference?
No, you should be sad that you're not on TikTok these days because berries and cream has been far gone.
Okay, yes. Cool. Yeah, it comes in waves. So there's like different trends, and sometimes you vibe with a wave and you ride it. And sometimes you literally wish the wave would just like crush over you, so you just like didn't have to deal with it anymore. Anyway, yeah, not my favorite.
I had a question on this scene though. Have you ever like this felt very mirror talk when you're like gassing yourself up or like trying to like motivate yourself or practice something that you want to say? Do you have any examples in your personal lives that you've ever done this, like Zuko, like trying to hype yourself up for a hard conversation?
When I wanted video games when I was a kid, I'd always like practice the speech I was good to give to my mom. I'd be like, okay, mom, this is the reason. It's not this much money. You got it. You could get it for me, blah, blah, blah. I'd always practice speeches in front of when I was about to talk to my mom. So I could relate to Zuko in this moment.
Yeah, my go-to is always like pump-up music. So I wouldn't like actually practice what I was going to say. I would just like listen to music that made me feel like, all right, I got this. I'm on top of the world. Nothing can beat me. And then I would just improv it and it would go poorly, but it's all right. Yeah. At least I felt confident while doing it. Felipe, what was your go-to?
Kind of a mix of both. Like sometimes I would practice, sometimes I would like just listen to get in the zone and then improv it and flub. Okay. But I do, just off of Zach's point, my friend Naomi, not Naomi Calhoun, another Naomi, I think Jacob's met her on Zoom. But she told me recently that when she was a kid, she would make detailed PowerPoint presentations explaining why her parents should buy her certain video games, being like, do you see this kid? She's sad. Do you see this kid? He's happy. And that's because he has this video game. And that was her pitch to her parents. So shout out Naomi Lambert.
Wow. Shout out indeed. That reminds me of one thing. It's one of my favorite things to do when on the, what is it, Zach? The Brambleberry? Is that what we've...
Brambleberry. Yeah, the curse? Brambleberry.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So on the Brambleberry, one of my favorite things to do is put together a presentation and then present it to a large audience. My favorite one I've ever done was, well, large audience, like my friend group of like five people. My favorite one I've ever done was on the Brambleberry, I had a Why Crows Are Smart and What That Tells Us About Humanity, where I talked about how crows have entered their stone age. And I was so
you were entered on the stone age.
Wait, what?
You were on some stone age.
Oh god. Yes, I was also in the stone age. But yes, the birds, okay, crows are actually in their stone age. That it is crazy, and I presented it while in the stone age.
This was very peak beginning of the pandemic, activities like making PowerPoint presentations for your friend groups on Zoom. That's something that I remember. But having been in a desert for my work for the last few days, crows are very stupid. The ones that I've seen,
no,
at least.
No, they're not.
It's just the crows that I've seen. Maybe they're just dummies.
I think
not
crows,
every crow can be smart.
Crows have the intelligence of like a 3-year-old child, correct? On average, so.
Is this your fun fact?
Yeah, that's my fun fact of the day.
Think of a fun fact.
You both all have had fun facts, which means I have to make one, and I'm not good at coming up with fun facts.
Jacob is not a creative individual off the cuff.
We'll just continue the podcast, and I'm sure a fun fact will hit you eventually. So,
if it doesn't by the end of the podcast, I'm going to pout. I'm already pouting, but that's fine.
I can send you some TikToks to get you through the day.
Yeah, well, at least it won't be berries and cream. Aang is talking about, Katara is trying to get Aang to talk about firebending. They're all trying to have an intervention, and Aang is just like shirking his responsibility left and right. He kind of gets out of it without like any sort of repercussions, because as they're like probably about to, you know, like give him like an actual argument as to why he's like, you know, needs to focus on his firebending, Toph points out that Zuko is in fact right there.
Yeah.
People are really, really standoffish with Zuko. Zuko only gets 3 words into his speech before people start to like get into attack position. And then also he has Appa there who starts licking him, which I think also is probably extremely disarming. That was not prepared for in his speech. But yeah, I thought this scene was really fun. I thought the connection that they had between Zuko and the rest of the group was like really genuine to the characters. I felt like it, like they didn't try to force anything. So I really enjoyed the scene.
And I love the friendship between Zuko and Appa, like the little connection that they had too, because Zuko did save Appa.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is true. I also like how Zuko starts like taking credit for the nice things he's done. He's like, I want to teach you firebending. Also, I let Appa free. So that's something. Like I thought that was a funny way to say it. Zach, did you appreciate this scene?
Yeah, I enjoyed this scene. I mean, you understand why Sokka, Katara, and Toph, and like Aang are all pretty against the idea initially of Zuko coming back because of what he's done to them in the past. But it was cool how, like Felipe was saying, Appa, being a good judge of character, is able to instantly realize that Zuko comes in peace. So that was cool. I enjoyed this scene a lot.
Go on, Felipe.
I also really liked the pacing in terms of like when each character spoke. Like Sokka and Katara kind of took the lead and like confronted him. Aang was kind of quiet and reserved, and then Zuko turns to him and is like, what do you think about this? You did say one time we could be friends. Toph is kind of just observing, listening to everything, feeling the vibrations, we assume, the good vibrations. And
yeah,
I like how they dealt with the characters, like you two mentioned, having them all do their own kind of thing that seems true to the character.
Yeah, the way that they had Aang be quiet for the first part of the scene was really effective, because I think it's like pretty natural for you to think like, oh, Aang is going to say like, we should accept him into the group and we should like allow him. And for Aang to ultimately rebuke him, I think was like pretty powerful. So I did think that was that was a really good way to do the scene. Like it led to a bit of intrigue throughout. My favorite part of the scene is that Sokka just assumes that that Zuko put himself in a vat of honey so that Appa would lick him, as if like Zuko's like, okay, how can I get in the good graces of the group? Oh, let me soak myself in honey so their bison licks me. That will make the humans trust me. Like wild connections from this guy. I thought that Sokka was so funny.
Maybe he was on some Brambleberry Kush this episode, because he was throwing some jokes out there that were kind of off. Like I was like, whoa, Sokka, your theories are not accurate. Maybe he's just like in a low point because his whole invasion plan sucked.
Yeah, I don't know if Sokka's on any of the Brambleberry, because there's no way he would have been able to been as accurate with his boomerang throw at the end of the episode if he was under the influence.
That is very true. I mean, it does make a lot of sense, because Sokka had an entire invasion plan. The invasion plan did not go well. They got totally outplayed. So maybe he's like trying to get away from his normal thought process, but it was not his strongest thinking. Anyway, the gang gets really upset with Zuko. They say like, look, you gotta leave. Zuko's really trying to say like, I'm not that person. Sokka makes the ultimatum like, look, you leave or we attack. That's it.
Because they also
Zuko. What's
is
up?
This when they reveal that, like, oh, I'm sorry for all these things I've done. I'm sorry for sending an assassin after you.
Yes, yes. And that's what ultimately pushes them to get Zuko out of there, because he revealed that he sent Combustion Man after them, which leads to a funny moment, because then he's like, oh, well, that's not his name. And then Sokka's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to insult your friend. Which, even in this dramatic, like, tense scene, the writers are able to imbue some humor into it, which was nice.
Yeah, and the humor of this, like, was very natural. Like, I can see a conversation like this going that way, where someone's like, Combustion Man, he's like, oh, that's not his name. It's like, oh, I didn't mean to insult you. And it's like, he's not my friend. Like, that sort of, like, back and forth was just, like, really funny. So I appreciated that quite a bit. I thought that was good. I don't really know why they didn't, like, actually take Zuko prisoner. Like, I do think that is the right move, because, like, he is going to end up just camping super close by. Like, it'd be better to, like, know where he is at least, and, like, at least have him locked up.
Have eyes on him.
Or yeah, feed on true. Him.
Or feed on him. from Toph. Like, from seeing him. Not otherwise. Just... that probably didn't need to be clarified. anyway. Okay. So then, yeah, he goes back. He talks to the frog. And he's like, I can't believe that, that this went like this. And, yeah, like, he's pretty right. I don't think this went very well. He probably could have used another one or two frog rehearsals for it to go a bit better.
Question, what kind of frog is this? Because it's like a half frog, half something else, but I want to know what animal it is.
Well,
it looked like half badger or something like that. I don't know. What were you thinking?
I was thinking a mini bear, but...
Zach, ding, ding, ding. The wiki says badger frog indeed. Look at, Zach, picking out animals.
Nice. I just threw a wild guess out there and it happened to be the one. So shout out the Avatar wiki.
But shout out Zach's zoology. I mean, are not impressive. Good job.
Thank you.
Wow, on top of it. Anyway, I had no idea until I looked at the wiki, because I was curious. Because a lot of these animals, you can tell. Like, you can be like, it's like clearly like a moose lion or whatever.
But badger frog... I'm glad it wasn't a bear frog, because then I would start getting worked up over Brother Bear again.
Oh, that's true. I know, that 2003 movie really just puts a toll on you, Felipe.
Yeah. It was refreeing my mind, obviously.
Yeah. All right, so it's Brother Bear, Wishbone. I don't think there's an animal that's, like, emotionally scarred me, but I'll think of one.
Bambi didn't make you cry?
Oh, Bambi is actually pretty sad. I'll take Bambi, yeah.
There you go.
All right,
hey,
thank you.
But I will say, in defense of Brother Bear, which Bambi does not have, a killer soundtrack by Phil Collins.
True.
Okay.
True.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, I agree, yes. Anyway, I really like the scene after he left, because Katara and Sokka just go on about all of the bad things that Zuko's done. And when you hear them back to back, it's like insane. They're talking about the things like, he did this. Or maybe this is like when in the like actual meeting when they're like, oh, you attacked our brother. But yeah, it is. Yeah.
You stole our necklace. You attacked us with pirates. Like,
yeah. Like hearing all the things throughout the episode, I'm like, oh, yeah. Zuko is kind of bad. Like,
there were a lot of callbacks this episode, and like, again, this is a kid show, but then this was a moment that I'm like, oh wow, Zuko was like, yikes.
Yeah,
the imperialism,
which only strengthens my take that season 3 episode 12 should not be the first episode of the podcast you listen to, because there's so much foundational stuff in the last podcast. Man, if I would have said that sentence better, it would have been way better. But
also there's so many inside jokes that you're missing, like Jacob licking museum artifacts. Like, you will not understand it if you don't listen to the back catalog.
Yep.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, yeah, so I mean, they are like, what?
You said Lord, so I said, I mean, Jeff. That's it. Stupid.
It's fine. When you said get in the zone, I said auto zone. We're here. After he leaves, Katara and Sokka are talking. Aang gives the realization... he like gives the revelation, that's the word, that whenever he was captured by Zhao, that it was Zuko that set him free.
The seed sent me.
Oh, yeah? Oh, why?
Yeah, well, because then Sokka was like, oh, I remember that. You mean when we made a suck on frogs and I had like a wart in my uvula for like a month? And then Katara was like, Sokka, I inspected you. There was nothing there. And he's like, tell that to my throat flap.
Yeah. I didn't like that very much.
I didn't like that phrase, but I like the scene. Like, quintessential Sokka.
Yep.
What was weird this scene is we also get a shot from the inside of Sokka's mouth.
So yeah.
I don't know why that was necessary, but here we are.
Yeah. Yeah, that was unnecessary. Like, they could have just said the, like, throatal flap thing, and I would have been, like, a little uncomfortable, but the fact that we had to see it was, like, just too much. But then, like, they talk about, like, oh, like, letting Appa free was a lie. Again, Toph, the cheat code herself, is like, no, lie detector, pass, not a lie, which I think is funny. I also like that Katara wants to give out the, quote, not as much of a jerk as you could have been award. I feel like that's an award I'm in strong contention for, so I'll just go ahead and start writing my acceptance speech now.
Go on. Nope.
I mean, I think I'm often not as much of a jerk as I could be.
Oh, I feel like everyone is, for the most part.
Yeah, I agree with Felipe. But are there any other awards you guys would give Zuko here? I mean, he's probably making honor roll for sure with how much he talks about honor. So that's like a little award he can get.
That's going to be my Hama X joke this week, where I just laugh at work when I'm listening to this.
Wait, that was hilarious, because I was like, I don't think you would get good grades. And then you had to like spell it out. And then, okay, yeah, so Zuko's on the honor roll. No, I don't really think, you know, Zuko doesn't need all the love. I think like best vision goes to Toph.
I think he might get the most improved award because he did improve, like, I guess. Like,
true, the MIP most improved player. That's true.
Yeah.
Haru probably gets like six men of the year because he's like pretty irrelevant.
I mean, Haru was sexier than Blake Shelton.
Wait, what?
You said sexiest man of the year.
No, right? He said six man, six, which is a basketball award.
I thought you said sexiest, and I was like, what?
Your statement was Haru is sexier than Blake Shelton. I love how excited you were. You're like, yup, I'm here for it.
I mean, who crowned Blake Shelton sexiest man of the year? I just want to talk. Like, Gwen Stefani, if it was you, just expose yourself that you're on the committee, but that was some choice.
I did not
know. Was
that
this year?
No, that was years ago.
Oh. Okay. Well, I guess I'm years behind in pop culture. I'm not sure I could have told you that Blake Shelton's ever sexiest man of the year. But, Felipe, I have to say, I genuinely appreciate how you were just ready to go with it. You're like, okay, Jacob said it. Let's go. Like, let's not make him...
I'm like, he's going to drive this unhinged train down the track. I'm just going to grab on and hold on for dear life and go with him.
Choo-choo.
not that.
Wait, what? That's a very reasonable thing to say.
No, it is.
I was gonna make another train noise, but then I realized like I couldn't make a train whistle. So
we can just wait until the train drives by your living quarters.
That is true. I mean, every 8 minutes it drives by, I can like go to a different room, open the window. Like we can hear nice wait, Chicago Thomas. Train. Do you say Thomas?
Yeah, wave to Thomas.
Okay.
Oh,
every train Thomas is not the named train Thomas. Engine.
Who says that?
Every train is named Thomas.
Yeah. You can name Thomas every train after Thomas.
Okay, well, hot there
take.
You go.
I have a hot take. That show kind of sucked. When I was a kid, I thought Thomas the Train Engine was so boring. Especially like that train with like the mean face. Like his plot lines were always awful.
Honestly, Thomas the Tank Engine should have been more of nightmare fuel than it was. Because those trains were kind of scary in hindsight.
Yeah, that and JJ the jet plane, like they are like actually scary.
The jet plane, I forgot. You just unlock like a hidden memory in my head.
Yeah, so I know that a plane is obviously not an animal, but I'm going to say the animal I'm most scared of is JJ the jet plane.
that song was in the shortlist for the bracket that we did. It didn't make the cut.
Good. Anyway, so yeah, Zuko, you know, lots of medals going to him. The honor roll and all the rest of the accolades.
But in the scene, this is why Toph should have won the Survivor Brand Steel, because she is good at separating emotion from strategy. She is like, listen, we don't like Zuko, but he's giving us a firebending teacher on a silver platter. We need to win this war. Like, you need to get over yourselves, and I know that he's caused a lot of pain and trauma, but there is a bigger picture at this moment.
Yeah, yeah. I often don't get mad. Like, I'm a pretty even-keel person overall. Like, I don't really get too upset. I'm, like, generally pretty happy. But when I'm in a state that, like, is... I feel like you both made faces. I feel like... All right, it's fine. We'll move past it. I feel like I'm an even-keel person. Whatever. when I get upset, I do think having someone like Toph who can speak rationally to me would just be so helpful, because like when I'm in a hot state and like upset at something, it would just be so nice to have someone just be like, look, like you're being dumb. This is the right thing. Like Toph is an amazing friend because of that.
Well, next time you need a someone, I think Zach and I would both say, call me, beat me if you want to reach me. We'll be your compatible.
Okay. All right. Wow, but I am a Kim Possible reference and a great friendship offer. Thank you.
No, I agree with you, Felipe. Call us anytime if you're feeling upset.
All right. Wow. I'm very happy. I might cry a third time today.
That was four. But...
No, it was two.
Well, no, I did tell Felipe I teared up another time.
Oh, my. Never Zach, mind then.
It's been a good day. It's an emotional washing machine that I'm like just tumbling around in, and I just need to get into the dryer.
All right. Well, we'll hopefully get it to the dryer sooner rather than later.
That is some metaphor you went for, and I'm kind of trying to process it, but I also don't want to delay the podcast forever. So like we can just move on, but I will circle back to this a few days from now and ask you, what was this metaphor?
I thought it was a good idea. But maybe not. It's got some kinks around it. It'll get worked out eventually. Anyway, the next scene that we get is nightfall. We're at Zuko's house or campsite. I guess it's not really much of a house. And then he hears something. He like starts to, you know, like shoot fire, like in self-defense. And we realize that it's actually Toph trying to sneak up or not sneak up, just to go talk to him. Toph puts up an earth wall, but ends up having her feet still burned, like by the fire blast that goes around the earth. Zuko then tries like help her. She like starts to crawl away, and she starts like tossing rocks behind her, which coming from Toph has to be one of the most intimidating things. And Zuko like hop skips and jumps his way all the way to her. I thought the acrobatics from Zuko were legitimately impressive, and he needs his laurels for being this good at acrobatics.
I agree. Zuko is just a very impressive athlete overall. I remember in season one when he like leapt and like jumped and grabbed Aang on the glider, like in one of the first two episodes. And I was like, damn, Zuko's got some hops. Like I said, he's on the Avatar basketball team for sure. I bet he'd be throwing down windmills.
I mean, you could even put him in the men's gymnastics at this point. Like I know you only did the women's gymnastics to talk about Miss Queen Tai Lee over here, but, yeah, Zuko got some athleticism that I just dream I had.
Yeah, I mean, same. I cannot disagree with that. It's very impressive. But anyway, so then, like, Zuko is, like, really upset with himself. And, like, you can just feel how mad he is. I think he says, ugh, like, four or five times through this episode. He says it twice right here. Like,
why is it so hard being good?
Yes. He says, why am I so bad at being good? Love it. That's an iconic line.
Yeah. I love that.
Okay. Then we get the worst line that we've heard in like all of Avatar, I think. Katara is, or sorry, they're back at the Western Air Temple. They're all talking about like, have we seen Toph? Haru and like the side characters are not worried at all. They're like, no, it's probably fine. But just then we get like a large movement of earth. Toph comes in from the walls, and we have what I believe I would like to submit this as the worst dialogue in Avatar. I've written it down as follows. Katara, Toph, what happened? My feet got burned. Oh no, what happened? I just told you my feet got burned. And like the fact that Katara says what happened twice in the exact same tone of voice, like I get it's for the joke, but it just like sounded like they came up with this joke and were like, ah, yes, this is very, very funny. And I just did not appreciate it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty redundant, honestly. I didn't think it was like the worst line of dialogue in the history of the show, but it wasn't the best. The writers.
No, Aunt Who, Aunt Wu.
That joke will never leave us.
But I will say, I do think it would have been interesting if Toph was trying to like not say how she got burned, but then she immediately reveals that she went to see Zuko, because then it becomes a little whiplashy. Like if she was trying to dodge the question a little more, then I understand why she was like, I told you I just got burned. But because she immediately caves to Katara's questioning.
Yeah, I mean, no one else can tell that she's lying, so she could have gotten away with it. It just seems like a little bit messy, I think, to say, like, oh, no, you know, like, I was just walking around and a random bushfire got me. Like, I do think it is ultimately good that she comes clean. Yeah, but, like, if she has this, like, idea of, like, I'm going to try to make, you know, Zuko on our side, this is not the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she actually does seem like a little bit upset, actually. Like, I think one of her lines, she says, like, oh, let's invite him back here. He's offered himself as a prisoner. Like, maybe he'll do it again. Like, it does seem like maybe she actually wants him to be a prisoner, like, for burning her feet, which seems maybe even a little out of character.
I don't think she wants him to be a prisoner for burning her feet. I think she still ultimately wants him to teach Aang. So that's why she's saying he should be a prisoner. At least that's what I got from it.
Yeah, just to circle back on something that I wrote down that I forgot to mention. I wrote down Toph's quote with that. She's like, I'm beginning to wonder who is really the blind one around here when she goes to storm out to see Zuko. And, like, that's the thing. She's, like, trying to, like, bring these two groups together, like, because she also wants to survive. Like, she's in jeopardy as well. She's a human on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. No, it's true. And I like how Toph is trying to lead them all on the correct path while they're all going astray and not able to see that Zuko's being sincere in the moment, which she is mature enough to see. So shout out Toph once again, displaying why she's the MVP.
Yeah.
We don't do MVP points on this podcast, but I would have come in here and be like, give Toph all my points.
Yeah, Toph like really just shows her maturity, which is impressive because she's not always the most mature person. Like, usually she is one of the people who is like very upset or whatever.
Yeah.
But here, like, she's pretty mature.
Yeah.
Anyway, so just as they're talking, we see a, cut to Combustion Man. Combustion Man is standing, up above. He's like staring at, Team Avatar.
He skipped over the best part when Sokka is like, oh, we'll get Zuko to be our prisoner. Then we'll sideline him without him inspecting us, and then he'll actually be our prisoner. And Katara's like, you're such a creative tactical genius, Sokka. I don't know where we'd be without you.
Oh, I skipped that line on purpose. I like that line. When I heard that, I was like, ah ha ha. Like, that was my actual reaction. I was like, ha ha, that's supposed to be funny.
Damn, Jacob. Just crapping all over the writers.
I thought this was supposed to be a beat by beat recap, Jacob.
Well, we spent about 20 minutes talking about nothing, so beat by beat is going to have to go out the window because we can't beat by beat if we're having the tangents we've been having.
I'm Team Jacob here, honestly. Sadly, we can spend... Every time we have a guest, we always spend the first 20 minutes just talking about the most random crap, which is fine. It's not a big deal, but that's just the nature of how
this is my take on podcasting in general. I would rather listen to like a discussion of the shows that people talk about with the tangents to get to know the podcasters and create the universe of the podcasters and get to know them. Like, honestly, like on my podcast, like we go through the recap of the movie, but I just use it as a vehicle for tangents.
Yeah.
Like, which I appreciate, like you are actually like giving the information, but I like, if people have an issue with the tangents, I'm like, that's my favorite part of the podcast, so you can miss me with those complaints.
Well, nobody's complained yet. I mean, one time I saw somebody say the episode recap was sparse in the Discord, and I was like, you know what? That's fair, a fair criticism of ours. But not too many people have complaints.
Well, if you have those complaints, you can at me at because I'm Nappy.
Which does not exist? Question mark.
Yeah.
I do think that it is like, look, if you're coming to an hour and a half podcast to get the beat by beat representation of a 24 minute episode of TV, I don't know what you're doing. Just watch the episode of TV. Like, you're clearly here because we're making jokes. I hope.
It's also 21 minutes if you take out the previously on the intro and the credits, which I agree with Professor Strong. That credit song is a banger.
Oh, I did listen to it all the way through this week. I tapped it from like not going on to the next episode. It's great. I agree. He's correct.
When has he been wrong in his life?
True.
Me that true. Point.
Yeah. I do think, well, maybe about Dune. I haven't yet made up my mind fully about it.
I told Jacob this, that I didn't, before I listened to that podcast, I asked him if he had seen Dune, and he was like, yeah, I wasn't the biggest fan. And I think what it went for, it did really well. But I also have similar complaints to Jacob. So similar thoughts. similar viewpoints.
I gotta watch it. I'm gonna watch it soon, so I'll try to watch it in theaters, hopefully, but we'll see.
Hans Zimmer did go hard on the tour. Yeah.
Yeah, but I even like talked to the professor about it a bit. And, like, I kind of agree with what he's saying. Like, yeah, like I think I liked it more thinking about it more and like talking with people like the professor who like it, like has made me like it a bit more. But
yeah,
I think it was like really overhyped.
It was also very much like the first movie, and it felt like the first movie of like a bigger story. And also it's just something that I didn't connect with personally. But if that might also be a barrier to me liking it as much as like other people loved it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's fair. I actually got a text from my dad, like, right before we started recording, which said, like, I think you were in a bad mood when you watched Dune, because it's a good movie. Which, like, I love that he called, or not called me out, but he's like,
I think... Did you listen to the podcast, or did you tell him privately?
No, I told him privately. I mean, I talked to my dad, Felipe.
No, I know that, but I didn't know if he was like your mom and listened to the podcast.
Oh, I don't, who knows? My mom, it's sporadic. Like, there are times where, like, so, like, definitely if she had, like, heard the story I said earlier about Grace, like, she would definitely text me about it. So, I, like, I'm going to try to put something in every episode where if she listens to it, she will, like, message me so I know which one she's listened to and which one she hasn't.
See, Jacob's lucky he has such supportive family members. I don't think any of my family's listened to a single episode of Aang in there. I could be wrong. I just tell them to download it so we still get, like, the streaming play, but they don't have to listen. Yeah.
Yeah. I respect that move a lot. I agree with that very much so. Yeah. Well, okay. If we talked about certain topics, Zach, do you think that we could get some of your family members to listen? Like, if we pivoted just a tad out of Avatar, could we get any of them to give it a shot?
None of them are just big into podcasts in general. My whole family just, like, listens to music. They're not, like, podcasting people. You know how, like, some people are just, like, podcast people where they just listen to podcasts? That's, like, the opposite of my family. I'm the only one who really listens to podcasts here.
I also had my brother, because he's probably listening to this. My brother, who I did not let meet Jacob when we met in person. I was like, no, you cannot say hi.
Yeah, I wanted to say hi to him too, but you, like, he was just sitting in the car and I, like, tried to wave and it was like, no. And it's like, okay, that's fine.
Because I was like, I cannot be the last one. He cannot meet you before I meet you. That was my thinking.
Zach, do you think you might be adopted if you're a podcast person and no one else is in your family?
I think it's
a genetic thing, actually.
Is it a genetic thing?
Like,
you're genetically predisposed to liking podcasts?
It's a recessive gene. It's like the same as like blue eyes or whatever. It's a recessive gene.
According to AJ, we can't trust people with blue eyes.
Wait, but then I'm sorry, what? We can't trust them?
That's what AJ said. He said he's never trusted a person with blue eyes. And then I said,
named Joe, was that the other thing he said?
Yeah, and I said, well, for my friend Jacob, I do trust him, and I hope you can reconsider your positioning, AJ.
Wait, are my eyes blue?
I believe according to your license, they are blue, based on a discussion we've had previously.
I like that you quote my license. Sorry, I'm just taking a picture of my eyes real quick.
This is riveting podcasting. Let's see the eye picture.
The eye picture looks literally unhinged. Like, that's an insane picture. I think that they might be green.
Greenish gray, maybe.
Yeah, like hazel, maybe. Maybe I need to update my license. I also have a Texas license, and I don't live there, so who knows?
You might need to change it to Illinois, because when I moved to California, they knew we'd change it within 10 days.
Now I hate
my license photo. It was disgusting. I missed my old one, so I still use my Massachusetts license.
I lived here for like 6 years. I was supposed to change it within 10 days. I really messed up.
No. Like, I think not during college, but like if you're a permanent resident, I don't know. I don't know what Illinois laws are, but in California, I was required to change it within 10 days. So I was
also, allegedly I've lived here for 6 years. I don't want to admit to not having changed my license on time.
It's also been COVID. They probably don't care.
I don't think any law enforcement in Illinois is listening to this. I could be wrong, or any like traffic agency or whatever body of government exists that enforces that stuff. I don't think they're devout Aang in their listeners. I could be wrong, but I think we're okay.
Well, that's too bad, because I think people who are like working in like the traffic, like the DMV, are the people who need to be listening to podcasts the most. Like, they're working in a place that is like a place where no one's happy to go. Like, it has such a aura of being a boring place. So I think listening to podcasts to spice it up is the move.
But I feel like they can't even listen to podcasts because they're talking to people throughout the day. Like, they, like, as soon as they finish with one customer, they have to like come back in and start all over with a new customer. They don't really have time to listen.
Yeah, you know, I mean, agree with Jay. I agree with Felipe. I'm kind of like that on my job. Sad that I can't have headphones in anymore, so can't listen to podcasts on the job.
That is too bad. What I was suggesting would be insanely rude, because it would be someone like listening to a podcast while talking to someone, but I think it would make it more fun.
So I don't like it, like when people, I'm listening to something, someone says something non-essential to me. Like if it was like actually not at work, but like in general, if I'm walking on the street and I see like a stranger, like talk to someone else. I have headphones in clearly, but that's a minor pet peeve of mine. That said, at work, I can't listen to podcasts because I have to have a headpiece in one ear, and then like it would confuse me. So I have to, that is something I missed about the last job when I was in the office. I could listen to podcasts, cram them out.
I think my favorite part of my job is I listen to podcasts.
Nice.
And I really like my job. Anyway, so yeah. Where were we in the episode? Oh yeah, Combustion Man
was attacking. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he like shows up, and Zuko swoops in to like save the day. And he's like, "Stop! I don't want you doing this anymore." And he's like yelling at him to try to stop. And then he says, "Okay, I won't pay you." And then Combustion Man just like grabs another way. He's like, "I'll pay you double." And it's like, nice. Like, I know it was very funny.
Combustion Man knows that Zuko is no longer like fire nobility, nobility. like, he probably doesn't care what Zuko is saying because he has a mission, but maybe he does. He knows that Zuko's words are lies because he doesn't have the money anymore.
I think it's not that. It's that Combustion Man is like tired of being embarrassed by Aang and them, and he just wants to kill them no matter what the cost is. I think that's more so what it is. Also, what was funny in the scene, Zuko kind of flies in on a rope like he's Tarzan or something.
I was
another
say,
movie with a dope Phil Collins soundtrack.
No spoilers, but we love that movie.
What? Tarzan, you can spoil Tarzan. Like, I'm not even sure there is a spoiler for Tarzan. Like, the
big one. There's a big spoiler. If you know, you know.
I don't remember Tarzan that well, to be honest. I remember he kills the tiger and becomes. Made you cry?
Well, that one, to be fair, I was like 3 when I first watched it. But,
oh, okay.
Like, I cried when Mufasa died. Oh, that's another spoiler. Sorry.
we're fine. I fundamentally believe that you can spoil things that are that old.
I think you spoiled Lion King for sure.
If there's an editor out there, and you going back to Dune, can you put the Hans Zimmer, when Zuko comes in and kicks Combustion Man in the face, just for my own statement? Because you know what I'm talking about, the Hans Zimmer score, where he's like,
Your impersonation of it is fantastic.
Like Zuko, I'm not good at impressions.
Wait, Zuko was really good. I legitimately thought they were good.
He said he wasn't good.
Yeah, he said he wasn't good. Felipe's right.
Oh, well, he was wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like how when Combustion Man is like trying to shoot, first off, like Zuko's like trying to kick him. Combustion Man doesn't really care. Like, yes, it makes his aim a little bit worse, but like when he gets kicked, like he doesn't actually like budge much. He just like slightly aims the wrong way. Like, I mean, that's how strong he is.
7 feet, like 300 pounds. Like, I don't know.
And that is fair. But I also just like that Combustion Man's aim is so bad. Like, literally, instead of being able to actually hit Aang, his goal is just like, I'm just gonna take down the whole temple. It's easier.
I know Jacob loves blind jokes, so do you think he'd have better aim than Toph?
Wait, no, Toph has incredible aim.
See? Thank you.
Yes, yes, he has better aim than Toph, for sure.
I was just setting you up to, like, stand Toph, our queen.
Yeah, thank you. That was appreciated. What's not appreciated for me, and what is the most glaring problem in the entire episode, is the fact that Haru never tries to join the fight. Haru is a scaredy cat. He hides in the background, even though he's an earthbender. It is unacceptable that he hides in the back with, like, the Duke and Teo. Unacceptable.
Especially when Toph is indisposed because her feet are injured. Like, step up and fight with the squad.
I did not notice that in the moment, but you guys are right. How come Haru wasn't joining the fight? That's true.
Maybe they were too busy exploring the Western Air Temple, going down the slide again.
No, because we see him, like, pop out right at the end of the fight. Like, he was right around there. Like, we see a shot of him later on.
He's very much that guy in a group project that they do a great job, and then he did no work, and he's like, "Great job, team. We got an A."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I feel that. I mean, like, it really was just incomprehensible that he's not there. Anyway, we do get like a pretty fun fight with Combustion Man. Like, just essentially his goal is, I'm going to destroy the entire temple. And he's like laying covering fire, essentially making it hard for any other attack to show up. I think my favorite part from the fight was when Aang sends a legitimate tornado at him. And like, it's animated even as a tornado. I thought that was pretty cool. Felipe, what was your favorite part of the fight?
I mean, I assuming we're going to talk about this, we're going to rank this as a battle. We are an hour and a half into the podcast, so we should make a decision, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is about the right time to make a decision, but yeah, I think we should rank
it. So we can talk about it more, but I really do want to highlight something that Kevin always talks about when he talks about battles in like Star Wars and Marvel movies, like the location, the setting, like the use of it in terms of like fighting. And I thought they did a really good job with that aspect of this in the episode. Like, it's not a generic anywhere fight. They really utilize like the Western Air Temple as a backdrop to like play around with some cool stuff.
Yes, yes. No, I very much agree with that. Zach, did you like any of the parts of the fight?
Yeah, I like when Aang jumps and shoots the little twister at him, even though it does like nothing to impede Combustion Man's progress. He just like walks right through it. I also like when Katara, she like ice bends some of the fountain water at him, but then just breaks and shatters on it on Combustion Man. And I felt like if this was the HBO version, which we all talk about, she probably impales him with some sharp icicles there. Instead, he just gets hit by the sharp ice and just shatters and does nothing to him.
Yeah.
I very much agree with that. That was a very cool use of the water bending. I think that was
Zuko's agility was on display as well, like his fighting style and his like speed and agility. That was cool.
I thought it was some Deus Ex Machina though, when Combustion Man shoots him with like a point blank shot, then he blocks it with his with like a fire bending shield, but then he falls off the cliff and he's randomly just hanging onto a vine out beneath the cliff. I thought that was a little bit of a Deus Ex Machina where they just like couldn't explain him getting shot off the cliff.
Yeah, I think that this should have been the moment where he does the thing that Azula does, like with the like fire that propels her up. Like, I think he should have done one of those like jet propulsion moments.
Yeah.
There was a weird cut in the animation. It was like Combustion Man was looking at them at one point at the gang, and then all of a sudden, like, there's a weird cross cut where he like is just looking at Zuko, and I was like, oh, this is a little wonky. Again, I watched this episode 4 times within 2 hours, so I was very
impressed. Also, I meant to bring this up already. Yeah, Felipe has watched this episode 4 times in the 2 hours leading up to this podcast. Like, hats off to a prepared podcaster. I really do appreciate it.
If you want more of that energy, it's too many. Dragon.
that is true. 4 times is too many, though.
To be fair to me, one time I was making some food. I was like half watching. And then the other time I was like, I had an iPhone issue yesterday where I lost all my contacts. Like, so then I was just like fixing it while I was doing it. I was like, I don't need my college email to go to my inbox anymore. So I deleted it, but apparently it was connected to my contacts. So then I had to like fix that. And then it was a struggle. So I was merging some old contacts with new contacts. I lost my epic Jacob profile photo in that moment. And I was like, no, I need to get it back. But I also might change it now at this point.
Make it the photo of me crying.
Either that or you in the goatee.
Oh God. No. Don't talk about that one. No.
I won't share it. Okay.
Is that funny, Pikachu? Yes, it is. When I shaved, I grew out a beard for a little bit. It did not look very good. But when I shaved down to a goatee. And the goatee looks unhinged. Like, I look like a creepy old man. It's really bad. If you ever, nightmare fool,
I will compliment you. You looked good in the goatee, I will say. Like, it was jarring because I'm not used to you facial hair. Which, by the way, we both lost No Shave November, RIP. But,
Oh, yeah, I forgot I was going to do that. Oops.
Oh, yeah, Movember. I forgot.
I was going to do it, but then I have to wear, a mask in the desert for 12-hour day. I was just like, nah, frick this.
Yeah,
I caught myself. Didn't want to go full Naomi Calhoun.
That was a good little segue. Full Naomi Calhoun is true.
Yeah. Hi, Naomi. You were great on the podcast.
I love Naomi. Check out the Naomi Movies podcast if I'm going to do some shameless plugging right now. We talked about James and the Giant Peach, and that was unhinged.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. never mind. What I was going to say was that this is the first fight, I believe, other than Sokka fighting his master. So like a fight where everyone is involved, where Sokka is the most valuable person in the fight. I believe that's true. I went through the other fights from the other books, and I think this is the first fight where Sokka is undisputed the most important person to be in the fight.
Do you want my hot take, though? Zach, go ahead. Actually, you were about to say something. You're more important than me.
No. I say your hot take. It's fine. I know what I'm going to say next.
Okay. But my hot take is that boomerangs are a fallacy. They were made up. They don't actually work. That was just mad lucky of a shot. But I don't think boomerangs actually work in that way.
Well,
have you ever thrown a boomerang?
I have thrown a boomerang, and I've had a boomerang. Well, I've thrown a boomerang, and it came mostly back. I do think as soon as it hits something, it cannot hit something and come back.
Yeah.
But boomerangs definitely can come back.
Yeah. I don't know. I've thrown a boomerang and it like falls at some point. Maybe I was throwing it wrong. I also watched Survivor, the Australian Outback. That boomerang challenge seemed like a fallacy as well.
Yeah.
Is that what we were going to say?
James, how the heck is he able to measure the distance and nail this direct shot on Combustion Man behind the wall? How is he able to do that?
It is very hard. I jinxed Felipe, which means you can't talk until I say his name two more times, because these are the rules that I play by. You can also say his name two more times and he can talk again, but he cannot talk until one of us says his name two more
Felipe,
times.
Felipe, are you going to abide by this ridiculous crap? You don't have to. You can talk.
Don't say his name again. Don't say it. No!
We were hanging out in New York. I jinxed Jacob as in the middle of his story, and he was telling two people that he did not know well a story, and then he just sat there in silence for like 30 minutes, and Naomi and I were there. We were just like laughing, and she's like, "You're so mean."
Yeah.
Because Jacob would only let me unjinx him. He would not let anyone else unjinx him.
Well, okay, the rules of the jinx are anyone who hears the jinx can unjinx you. So honestly, I should have let you jinx until this podcast dropped on Wednesday, and then you had to convince a listener of the podcast to unjinx you, because that would have been hilarious. No, I treat the rules of jinx extremely seriously. It's one of the like two things that I treat like
what seriously. That and full truth.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a thing called the full truth, where if I say full truth, I will not lie. That's the thing I treat most seriously, and then jinx next.
Yeah.
Wow. This has been a wild podcast, honestly. It's been all over the place. We've covered every spectrum. We've talked about Avatar. We've had like ridiculous tangents. This podcast has had it all.
I mean, that's what happens when you get the three of us together with some reckless energy. Especially me. I do claim to be part of the chaos.
Yes. I mean, I think Felipe brings it out in me to where like I just start talking about things that just don't make sense. I think he's like a great enabler of my like nonsensical side.
Just call me an enabler, please.
Of my nonsensical side. Okay. That's a very good thing to enable.
Okay. As long as I'm not peer pressuring you. I will say, credit to myself and my friend, other friend, Zach. We convinced our whole BU friend group to get AMC stubs.
Okay.
So we enabled that charge. So shout out. I believe in Canada, it's the Cineplex.
Cineplex, yeah.
It's like the membership sort of program that they have here. That's like a ridiculous deal. Like, we absolutely stand. Three movies a week for like $25 a month.
How much did they pay you to advertise?
None, but if they want to pay me in like retrospect, you can PayPal me at the Brazilian Dragon.
Yeah, I mean, I also love the AMC stub, so I'll give some free ads to them. But anyway,
that I know who like bought the entire theater for Tenet and then canceled every single ticket but one.
That was a genius move. Because, like, so Tenet came out, and, like, I didn't want to see it around other people. And so I bought all of the tickets. And then, like, the cancellation policy on AMC is, like, as long as you cancel, within 10 minutes before the movie starting, you're fine. So I just bought up every seat, canceled within 10 minutes with my one seat, which I got for free because of the AMC stubs. So I got the whole theater for free.
Wow. Lucky you. That's pretty smart, honestly.
Yeah,
I would love you.
They actually did fix like a little bit about the bug. Like, now you can't cancel seats as quickly, so it's like a little bit harder to do. But anyway, it worked out.
Boys probably loved you. They were like they didn't want to clean up popcorn for like the full theater in COVID times.
That's true. Yeah, the hourly workers get paid the same. Like, I'm only hurting the company. So let's go. Anyway, yes. Okay, so Zach, going back to what you said, it is incredibly impressive that he's able to get the like trajectory and everything exactly right to hit him, not only to hit Combustion Man, but hit him in the vulnerable spot. Like, this is a 1 in a trillion chance, maybe. Like, maybe 1 in a trillion is the odds.
Boomerangs are made up. They are fictional. That's my
thing. Okay.
No, they're not fictional. That was just more of a hyperbolic statement. But I do want to ask, so my interpretation of the events is that Homeboy got hit in the face in his third eye, and then his chakra was blocked. Is that what happened?
Yeah. So this kind of happened in like the last time. I believe like you're roughly right. This happened like in the last time that they fought, and I think what happens is like when he can't aim properly and he can't like channel the combustion from his head, it just causes like the like because he like activates the combustion and then channels it. So if he like activates it and can't send it, then it just happens like
also
next
like Zuko reiterates in this episode, fire is a reckless element and that if it's not controlled, so maybe like he didn't channel it properly and it went more internally, because I'm assuming he's dead. He doesn't show up for the rest of the series.
Yeah, I think he dies here.
Yeah.
So he like channels it internally and like blows himself up.
Yeah, this is definitely one person getting added to the body count. Like, I do think a lot of people have been accidentally killed, but this is one who's like definitely dead.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Combustion Man. Sparky Boom Man.
Yeah, like that's not even his real name, so I really feel disrespectful.
I wonder what his real name is. Do we know? Do they explore that in the comics?
Steve.
It's probably something generic like Lee. Or something. There's always a basic name.
Yeah. Oh, I wish it was Jay. Anyway, then after this fight, so we have Zuko climbs up a plant root. Oh yeah, this is when we see like a shocked Haru walk out like from behind a pillar about 2 feet away.
Receiving.
Yeah, I was like, this freeloading piece. Oh, whoa. I mean, look. Piece of work. Thank you, Zach.
Listen. You got to do what you got to do sometimes. Maybe Peru was protecting his peace.
Maybe.
But I agree with your stance. I'm not, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I appreciate it.
How long do you think Zuko was hanging on that thing, like, in real time? Because this fight was, like, 3 minutes on our TV. But, like, if this was an actual fight, like...
Well, I think the fight happens, like, in real time. So I don't think he was hanging for that much longer.
That man got upper arm strength for days.
True,
he is pretty young, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we get this, that's very true. Then we get this really good speech from Zuko here where he talks about like fire. Like I know you mentioned this earlier, but I really did want to call attention to it. Zach, I thought that you were going to clip this part.
I thought so too, but I wrote it down just in case.
I wrote it down as well, but one of you guys can read it. It's all good. I thought about clipping it, but I thought, I really like Katara's threat at the end of the episode. I thought that was like so powerful and like harsh and dark. And I was like, that's what I wanted to clip. But this was very powerful as well. So,
yeah. I wrote both this and the Iroh speech. So if you want to do one and I'll do the other, one of you.
I mean, you can read them if you want.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I definitely was that kid who raised his hand all the time because I loved attention and wanted to read in second grade class.
See, I did that. I raised my hand and wanted to read because sometimes the teachers would like call on students who were so bad at reading and were struggling so much. And I just wanted to like put them out of their misery. I'll read.
See, you did it compassionately. I did it selfishly.
Oh, no. I did it selfishly so I could read faster so we'd be done with it. Just because like I was
over it.
But
then you played yourself because then there's another assignment along the way.
That's fine. I'd rather do another assignment than hear someone else read to me. But Felipe, when you said I love attention, I thought you said I love detention. And I was like, what? Why would you get detention from doing that?
I mean, I did recently watch the Scooby-Doo The Mystery Begins movie, which is a detention movie. But okay, no.
Yeah?
No, I did not love detention. I got detention one time for... I was very smart and... thought I was better than everyone because I spoke Portuguese, so then Spanish came very easily to me. And this one girl who was a mess, we don't have to get into her whole life story, but she's unhinged, but she like said something snippy to me, and then I turned to her and I said, you're boring in Spanish, and the Spanish teacher was like, no, you get detention. I was like, damn, for that? Wow, you have something against me, sir.
Yeah, that's not worth it.
So I got detention in middle school for that. So yeah.
Okay, so maybe you'll get detention, maybe you'll get attention, but please take us away and read the Zuko speech.
I know now, well, I don't have the whole thing. I just have the important part.
Okay.
I know now that no one can give you your honor. It's something you earn for yourself by choosing to do what's right. All I want to do now is play my part in ending this war. And I know that my destiny is to restore balance to the world.
Powerful
Wait,
stuff.
That's not the best part. The best part that I wrote down, so let me get some detention real quick, is when he says fire can be dangerous and wild. So
oh, I had that part too. I was just reading the first part.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, no, I was.
I'll share. Jacob, go ahead.
Thank you. Please share detention. Fire can be dangerous and wild, so as a firebender I need to be more careful and control my bending so I don't hurt people unintentionally. And this is the part that made me cry, because it's just so sweet that like he's able to channel something that's so destructive into something beautiful, and like the fact that he's able to like actualize human potential and teach Aang is really cool, and I just got emotional about it.
Okay, Whitney Houston.
Damn, Felipe, you gotta do Jacob like that. No, this is a fair scene to get emotional at, honestly. It's extremely powerful, him talking about how he burned Toph and acknowledging that and saying how firebending is a dangerous element. It's beautiful stuff, honestly.
And then, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just gonna say, I can see how it could bring one to tears.
Yeah, just not Zach. But I do love how Aang picks it up and be like, relates it to himself and his own firebending experience when he was like, I was a Zhang Zhang and Che, I burned Katara because I was impulsive and I never wanted to firebend again. I was so upset for hurting my friend and my loved one.
And Aang specifically mentioned he was with the Zhang Zhang and Che. He said that.
No, he didn't say Che. I just brought it up.
I know. Making a joke.
I did laugh when you like gave Che the name drop, because Che is us. It's a Aang and their love only. The show doesn't even love Che as much as we do.
Che's name after every podcast we do, and then I get reminded of his existence every time we do a podcast. Like I genuinely like it leaves my brain his name. I'm like, oh yeah, Zhang Zhang's buddy. /second-in-command. Like, I forget his name every single time.
I know Jacob told me that he wants to be Heathers or Zuko for Halloween next year, but here's my pitch. Che. And people will be like, who are you? And you'll be like, I'm Che from Avatar.
But do you want to be that guy who has a costume that nobody knows? Like, I had a friend who was some, like, very niche South Park character for Halloween this year. Like, I felt bad for him because it's, like, a costume that no one understood. So, I don't know if you want to be that guy. It was a good costume. It just was a very niche character.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going as Heather Chandler from the 80s movie Heathers. I'm very excited to do it. Like, me and two of my friends are going to, like, dress up in full, like I don't
drag.
Know what it is.
Drag, yeah.
Drag. Well, yeah, but drag, but, like, specific, like, the skirt and, like the jacket. Anyway, it's going to look...
Heather is Heather Chandler. She's the main one?
Yes, she's the main one, of course. You don't have she's main the one in red.
Me, please.
I don't have what?
Main character energy.
I'm sorry. Yes, I do. My life is incredibly interesting. I have great main character. Also, Veronica's the main character of that story.
I've seen
Heather. I have multiple problems with that statement that you said, and we will have to address them later because I'm a little tired and we need to wrap up.
But so Che, we just stand. So that can be your Halloween costume next year. That's my point.
All right. Maybe for like the like pre Halloween party where like I'm going and like only kind of dressing up, but I don't even know. A Che costume is just like wearing rags. I'm not even sure I'd like want to, like he's not wearing anything distinctive. Anyway, they put it to a vote, democracy in action. Can Zuko join the group? It's a unanimous vote, clean sweep, no undisputed election. We love democracy working. Oh, wait, what?
Sort of. Like, shout out to Aang for asking consent from every single person, like getting their verbal consent for Zuko to join the team, because he did hurt Toph. He has hurt all of them recently throughout the history of the show. But Sokka is game. Toph is game. Toph is like, I want to get back at you so I have time to practice like curb stomping you or whatever she said. That was not a direct quote, but that was a much more interesting version of the paraphrase. And then Sokka was like, we need to win this war. So yes, Katara's like hesitant. So yeah.
I mean, she still votes affirmatively. She says, I'll go along with whatever you think is right. Like she's not like, it's not like the most enthusiastic consent, but like it's a clean vote. Anyway, so then, like, we get a scene between Zuko and Uncle Iroh, and we have Uncle Iroh talking to Zuko about destiny. And he says, like, keep an open mind and open heart. I promise you'll find your own destiny someday. Ooh, look at me stealing the attention from Felipe right there.
Well,
I was just, you didn't have the full quote.
You just had the end.
Well, yeah, that's the good part. Oh, sorry, you wanted me to say, you know, Prince Zuko? I'm sorry, yes. I admitted that. All right, my bad.
I will say this is the first episode of the show that, like, it's not super glaring that it's not Mako voicing him. Like, it's still slightly different, but, like, it felt seamless.
Yeah, yes. I thought Greg Baldwin did a better job in this episode, I feel like. He's starting to find his stride doing Iroh's voice.
Yeah. I agree. Then, just like every single Avatar episode, I mean, it really is a trend. We cannot leave on a happy note. Instead, we leave with Zuko in his room, and then Katara walks in. Katara's quite upset. And Zach, you did clip this one. I didn't bet with myself on it. I'm a little disappointed, honestly. But do you want to play the clip so that we can all listen to her seething rage in the original dialogue?
Yeah, Katara may be a waterbender, but she came at Zuko with some heat. So I wanted to clip it. And I didn't think our words could do it justice. So here it is.
You might have everyone else here buying your transformation, but you and I both know you've struggled with doing the right thing in the past. So let me tell you something right now. You make one step backward, one slip up, give me one reason to think you might hurt Aang, and you won't have to worry about your destiny anymore, because I'll make sure your destiny ends right then and there, permanently.
So yeah, Katara just straight up threatens to end Zuko here. Like, guy, dang.
Whoa. What is this, HBO?
Yeah, this is HBO apparently. Holy, I wasn't expecting that type of heat. And then that's the end of the episode. So you're right. We can't end on a happy note here.
To shout out to all the Zutara shippers, I feel like the tension was there. The sexual tension was in that clip.
What?
No, I'm kidding. I'm just trying to throw something out there for all the Zutara stands out there.
I never disagreed with you more about, like, yeah, no, not one bit. No, this is, like, the biggest piece of evidence against Zutara. Like, she literally says, like, I'm on Aang's side. That's literally what this speech, like, comes down to is,
but there
you
was
might
passion.
Think that you're... You might think that you're progressing, but Aang comes first.
There was a passion there, though.
I know Felipe just being contrarian, but technically there was a passion there, but the passion was her, like, protecting Aang. That's where
the passion. Who was the real firebender in that scene? Because there was heat coming from her.
True.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the episode for you. We got to, wrap this up at some point before we start talking about different tangents. So we should get into the episode rankings. And we can talk about their thoughts along the way.
Yeah,
sure. Let's do it up. I'll start.
No. Jacob never starts. I've noticed this on the podcast. I do want to point that out. You can start if you want, but
no. Okay, Jacob. Always... You know what? Fine. We'll let Jacob start. I mean, to be fair, Jacob usually throws it to me, and I just fart out my response right away. So yeah, we'll let Jacob do it up here.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, I can't start because every time I'm like, oh yeah, I have to average the scores. So I quickly go back through all the places I've written down the scores and I have to average them, which is why I can't ever go first.
Okay. So here, Felipe, since I always go first, I'll let you go first. How about that?
Oh, so now the spotlight's on me, that backfired. I will give this episode, in my original ranking, I give it a 3.7, but I think there's a lot of things that I really like on this rewatch, or of the four rewatches that I did today. I think I'm gonna bump it up to 3.8. I really like the use of flashback as, like, a way to bookend the storyline with Zuko, with the setup and then the finish of that same scene. I think the location, the setting is really interesting, and the animation in this episode is really cool. The callbacks and the arcs in this episode that keep getting mentioned are really, really fun. So I think they all blend together for this really fun episode. And I suppose it's just like a fun, like, hang episode. Like, I feel like this is, like, something that you could watch, and, like, it's big picture but also small picture at the same time. So I give it a 3.8. It's not a perfect episode, but it's close.
Yeah, I kind of agree with a lot of what Felipe's saying. All of the positive stuff he's saying about the episode is true. For those reasons, I'm going to give it a 3.6. I think the battle kind of drags it down a little bit. The battle's okay. It's not amazing. And the episode is a bit dialogue heavy, especially compared to the past two episodes, which are all like war and battles going on. So for those reasons, I'm going to bump it down 2 points lower than Felipe and have it at a 3.6, but it's still a great episode of Avatar.
Yeah, the listeners are kind of all over in this place. We have some people calling this as high as a 3.8. We have one person running in at a 2.9. So far running the gambit here. Ultimately, for the listeners, it is a 3.56. Pretty close to Zach's ranking. For my ranking, you know, I was going back and forth with this the whole time. I was going to give it a 4 because I cried. But I don't think I can actually give it a 4 because as I was talking through it, there's just not enough meat on the bones. I'm going to join Felipe at 3.8, assuming that Felipe will let me share his score with him. But it's going to...
Felipe doesn't share food. Sorry, no, I'm kidding.
Anyway, it's going to have the score for the episode at a nice 3.69.
Whoa. Nice. 6.9. Nice.
Hey, we're all children on the podcast. Let's go. Anyway, we can
rank the podcast too, please. You're giving me too much credit that I'm only a child on the podcast.
That's very fair. Anyway, it's time to get to the battle of the battle rankings where we do the same thing we just did for the scores for the battles. Because this is not anyone's first episode of listening to this podcast, we don't really need to explain it because I already banned it from being the first episode. So we can just get right into it.
But in case it is, hi friends.
No, it's not. We have beef. I'll start. You know what? I'll start. I didn't think this battle was great. Combustion Man, very inaccurate. The boomerang's like a 1 in 1 trillion. I do like that Sokka steps up. I thought that was cool. But 2.5.
Whoa, that's low.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm barely higher than Jacob. I'm at like a 2.7. This is ultimately forgettable, except for the fact that Combustion Man straight up dies. That's probably the most memorable part here. Him like falling to his death. So yeah. 2.7 from me.
Like in Tarzan. Sorry, spoilers.
Whoa, the spoiler didn't come, Felipe. I'm shook.
I'm going to disagree with you. Like, not because of the fight itself. I didn't think like Combustion Man and Sokka was that interesting, but I do want to like give my credit to the animators. And like, I thought, visually, it looked really cool, like the different colors and the animation. So I'm going to give it a 3.3 just for like the work behind the scenes that made this episode come to life. Because the combustion part and the Sokka part, that they can miss me with that. That was a snooze fest. But Katara, Aang, and the lighting shifts that they had in this episode, I really liked. So
yeah, like Aang shooting the Twister was kind of cool. And then Katara, like ice bending is always a treat. So there were some good things about this fight for sure.
Yeah, I just don't even think it's the best fight with Combustion Man, so it can't even be that good. But Victor did write in and give it a 3.25, saying that Sokka was low-key, was a math wizard with those boomerang angles. So we'll give Sokka his due. One question that I want to quickly get to, Victor wrote in, he said, Zuko practicing his speech on the frog was precious. It reminded me of being in high school and getting the courage to ask a girl to prom. With that being said, how do you think the members of Team Avatar would act if they were all at prom? I'll start first with the most obvious one, which is Toph would sit on the edge and like she would want someone to come over and get her involved, but she would not get involved herself. Anyone else have, some prom takes?
Katara would definitely be the one asking. I think she would do the promposal. She would go for Haru, and Aang would be there, be like, but what about me? And then, because Aang, I don't think Katara was into Aang until Aang spoke up about it. That's my thought. I'm not a hardcore Zutara shipper, but I do think that Aang and Katara is more one-sided at first than anything. I think Sokka's trying to like make all the jokes and like get slapped in the face a couple times throughout the night. Like, Jake, is that practice echolocation?
Oh my gosh. Zach, where do you think Team Avatar members would be?
I think Sokka would be the guy like me who didn't have a date to prom, just shows up and just tries to have a good time, make everybody laugh and stuff. So I think that's what Sokka would be doing. What about, we talked about Katara. What would Zuko be doing at prom? Because he's part of the gang now. What would he be
Zuko
doing?
Would
he
just be rooting in the corner with May?
He would not be there. No, like May and Zuko would have not gone. They would have been like, prom's lame, man. And instead they would have like thrown bottles down a quarry. I don't know why, but that's what they would have done.
Tylee would crush it at prom.
Yes.
Oh, Tylee, she'd be the belle of the ball for sure.
Yeah.
Tylee would have been prom queen, but Azula did rig the ballot box, and Azula did make sure that people voted for her.
The beach kind of had prom vibes, like that whole party there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I am not going to drag my prom date on this podcast, but off the podcast, I'll tell you a story if y'all want.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Are we doing a tea quartet?
No, there's no tea quartet this week.
So I brought some ideas if y'all wanted. Well, but
I mean, give us the ideas. Like, so, I love doing them, especially the sillier ones, but we can do it off the pod okay. So that we don't have to.
I'll just read my ideas and then we'll do it off the pod. Okay. Head, shoulder, knees, and toes. the four amusement parks at Disney World. Okay. The four humors of the human body, blood, yellow bile, black bile, phlegm. The four nations of the UK. And the four DNA nucleobases.
Wow. Felipe is legitimately one of the more creative people I've ever met. I mean, all of those are so random. I don't know how you come up with them.
Off the cuff. Crayons, pens, colored pencils, and markers.
Great. Okay, well, I guess we have tea quartets for the next few weeks. We'll go through which ones we'll do when, but... yeah.
What was that one with like human bodily fluids? How did you come up with that?
That one, I was in reading some historical article, I think, and I saw that. I was like, oh, I forgot that's a group of four. Let me ask Jacob. I think I sent that one to you at some point.
I might right have around the time of Sex
and Akivi, I think, also. It was around that time because I was also thinking of groups of four. And then that's when I came up with the DNA one.
You know what we've actually never done? I've never watched Sex in the City because when I was young, it was like inappropriate for me to watch. But that's a quartet that we could.
Wait, I thought we did do that one.
No, we've never done Sex in the City because I wouldn't have been able to provide any input because I never watched it.
On Renap, right. They did the elements based on the Sex in the City characters, so yes. not exactly the same. But Jacob, did your mom let you watch Sex in the City, or was that also like in the same?
I had no interest to watch Sex in the City. But
shout out to J Mama. We stand.
Heck yeah. Let's go, J Mama. Anyway, that is all we have for you this week. Felipe, thank you so much for being the first three-time guest of Aang in there. Truly king of the guests. Where can people keep up with you when you're not on Aang in there?
I'll try to keep this brief. You can follow me on all social media, including TikTok, at WhatTheFleep. I do the What You Doing podcast with the lovely previous guest of this podcast, Cuz I'm Navi, the Twitterless queen that she is, and Davis, Will. We talk about Phineas and Ferb, the both of you have been guests. We've talked about the hallucinogenic zebras on Jacob's episode and sports and SIMP squirrels in my pants on Zach's episode. Definitely check it out. We just recorded a podcast today where Navi talks about the journalism of Playboy. That's a tease for you all. And then over on the Brazilian Dragon podcast, we are doing Scooby Snacks and Chats with this man in the red shirt right now, Jacob.
This is legitimately a pink shirt.
Sorry, the lighting was off in that moment.
Sorry, I got so upset with you.
we did a Sex Education Season 3 podcast with AJ Norris, and every month we're going to the Nao movies, and Jacob, Naomi, and I will be talking about the B movie at some point. But the main thing over there right now is Scooby Snacks and Chats, which is a Scooby-Doo cinematic movie rewatch, and also Disney Channel original movies. We talk a lot about those.
Wow, more than 4.5 podcasts if you count up all of them. Akiva, beware, Felipe is out there.
Jacob, are you gonna abandon Akiva if he's not gonna appreciate your stand-up and come stand me instead?
No. Not a chance in the world. I'm loyal to the soil. And you can keep up with all of my complaints about how I am actually Akiva's biggest fan at JK Redmond. Zach, where can people keep up with you?
People can find me on Twitter at ZachMuhammad32. Haven't been really tweeting too much. I've kind of been off social media recently. Pardon me?
You're good on the likes and the retweets, though.
That's true. I like to follow people for their likes and retweets.
Zach ask me, what did Navi do to get banned on Twitter? I literally responded, I don't know, fam.
Yeah, I was curious. I was like, why is Navi off Twitter? Like, I was like, what could she have possibly posted to get
banned? She knows what she did, and she won't share with us. I think she did something scandalous. No, I'm kidding. Navi's the nicest person alive.
All right. Well, I guess maybe we'll figure out what happened to Navi's Twitter in a future episode. But until then, that's all we have for this week, folks. See you next time.
Peace out, guys. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.